Well, we're going to look this evening at Luke's Gospel. We're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. So, if you could switch your phone on and turn up that reference or the Bible, that would be really helpful to me, and you'll see where we're heading. So, Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to their life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? You of little faith. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is God's word. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you this evening that we've sung songs of praise, remind ourselves of our great Savior. And yet, Father, we also have reminded ourselves that we are thirsty, that we need more of you. So, Father, with this thirst now, we pray that we would be satisfied as we look at your word, as we remind ourselves what life is all about, and help us all to listen in this hot evening, to take in, and to work this out in our own lives. We pray now, Lord, for this special time together. Amen. This evening, we're going to look at this as our kind of key text. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's verse 34. And also, this quotation kind of guided me when I was thinking about the kind of emphasis of where things were going. Look at these words there. Throughout Scripture, the heart represents the center of one's being and one's deepest desires, including one's reason, conviction, emotions, and will. The nature of one's heart is reflected in the things that one values most. Keep that there for a moment and think for yourself about your heart, the heart that we have that keeps us alive is very special, very valuable. One of my relatives at the moment is in hospital, very poorly, and his heart is working at 30%. It's only when we fall ill we appreciate those things which are taken away from us. In this world of fitness and heart rates, we talk about the heart quite a lot. But when the Bible and when Jesus speaks about the heart, actually, it's not talking about the heart that pumps the blood around our bodies and keeps us alive. But actually, the heart is the control center, as the reference, as the quotation on the screen says. The heart, in the Hebrew, is the control center. And therefore, when we speak about our heart and our control center, we need, don't we, to make sure that we're protecting the heart, our control center, and at the same time thinking about what our life is all about. We've heard, haven't we, in the last few months about Proverbs, and Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. This is what we hear and read. Above all else, guard your heart. The heart is so important. So this evening, I'm going to be speaking to both those of you that would say that you are a Christian and a believer. And this evening, if you're not a Christian, thank you so much for coming, because it's many people have questions, and those questions hopefully are answered over the course of the weeks and the months together. But those of you who aren't Christians, this whole question of our hearts and the control center of our life is a really important question to think about. So this evening, some of you might be fresh to this, that what Jesus said, it might be all new. And for some of you, you've heard sermons on this passage 20, 30, 40 times. But let's come to this fresh, because I believe the Lord will say something fresh to us this evening. What are you living for? What are you living for? That's a really good question to think about as we start this evening as well. As we think of the heart, and the heart which is the control center, what gets you up in the morning? Okay, what are you living for? What are you living for? And are you living for God and His kingdom? Or are you living for yourself and your kingdom, me and my kingdom? And that's what we're going to do this evening. We're going to look at it from the perspective of me and my kingdom, the treasures of earth. And we're also going to look at the treasures of heaven, God and His kingdom. So what are we living for? That's a really helpful question to think about as we go through this passage. And this evening, the idea of treasure as well, not just the heart, but also our treasure, is a really important thing to think about as we look through what Jesus says. Let's have a look down at verses 29 to verses 31 again. Have a look down at verses 29 to 31 again. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you. And so we have a choice straight away. Are we living for our kingdom, or are we living for God's kingdom? Are we living for me and my kingdom, or are we living for God and the things of heaven? So when we first of all think about our kingdom, me and my kingdom, or the treasure on earth, Jesus is responding in this section to a question that he was asked him in the passage just before. You'll see it as a subheading, the parable of the rich fool. And Jesus tells the parable based on a greedy man who is preoccupied with what he's getting, his inheritance. And all the man could think of was, what's the solution to this? What's the solution to this? What a foolish man. He's in front of the Son of God. He's heard and maybe witnessed great miracles, and yet that's all he's concerned about. Him and his money. Him and his inheritance. And he wants Jesus to sort out this domestic. He wants Jesus to sort out this problem that he's got in his family. Have a look down at verse 16 to verse 21. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "That is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. I'll say to myself, You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. And so the man in the parable was just concerned about his riches, about gaining and storing up for himself treasures on earth, not thinking about life beyond this one. And the parable ends, doesn't it, with a rebuke in verse 20. You fool, God says. This very night your life will be demanded from you. You fool, he says. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? What's the point of it? Totally useless when you're gone. And that's people's life story today, isn't it? They fret and worry about life and what they're gaining and their pensions and the security plans. And yet when life is taken, what does it mean? Meaningless. And so this evening, we're going to look at this section of verse 22 through to the end of the chapter. And there have been many cheesy Christian calendars that have pulled out verses from this section. Maybe you've got a cheese, I don't want to call it cheesy now if you've got one at home, but you may have a poster or a picture with a sunset and then one of these verses. But let's have a look at the passage as a whole. And verses 22 and verse 29 really helps us to think about the worries. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or about your body and what you will wear. And then verse 29, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. And this is the theme of the worries of the world, worries of the here and now. Jesus says, do not let these things consume you. Do not let these things consume you. Don't let them take over. Don't let them be the control center, the thing that your life is all about, on how you make your decisions, of how you live the here and now, and even in the way that you sometimes maybe think that you're future-proofing things in your life. We have devices and gadgets at home, don't we, which say they're future-proof, which means they last for 3 years. But, you know, for some of us, future-proof means 20 years. We're thinking ahead for 20 years. Well, this evening, Jesus would remind us and for us to think about, actually, what does future-proof mean? Future-proof actually goes beyond this life. So the worries of the here and now is what we can be totally consumed about. And we live in a different world to the people that Jesus is speaking to. We live in a very different world. We live in a very materialistic world. We are reaping what we sow. And so with that, because there's this sense of trying to live for the now and enjoy the now, we face the consequences of that. So I don't want to spend too long looking at statistics, but we know that stress is a major part of our everyday life. Stress is a very big part of our everyday life. Apparently, half of the illnesses that are happening today are linked in some way or another to stress. Apparently, a third of adults say that they're always tired. Because? Why? Because they're living to the beat and the drum of the world, this material world. Then it was about surviving. Therefore, the no crop meant no food. And it was the end, it was the hand-to-mouth stuff. And yet for us, when we see verse 22, we can think of our identity. Look at verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. Don't worry about what your body looks like. This is my version. Where you shop, what designer labels you have. Don't worry about what you hear when you watch Love Island. Love Island's been mentioned twice today, hasn't it? Paul, I don't know if you see, slipped it in. But Love Island is a massive thing for young people. Any of you watched it? Who's going to admit to it? Confession time. How many of you heard of it? Yes. Okay. I'm not subscribing and telling you to watch it this evening, but it's the number one show for people under the age of 30. It is the number one show. And there is a pressure. There is a pressure of what my body, not my body, but what a body, scary thought, and what our body looks like. And we're presented with these images of beautiful bodies. And we think, well, maybe our body should look like that. And if it's not, there's something wrong. And the world of Instagram, where I'm told that the average teenager takes 90 photos before they post a photo on the social networking site. Whether that's the filter, the lighting, the position of the head, all because the pressure of this world says that you have to look a certain way. And Facebook, I've tried to put something down that maybe all of us can relate to this evening. How many has Facebook here? Hands high, most of you, yeah? Well, apparently now it's not called Facebook. You may have heard of this. It's called Fakebook. Fakebook. And Fakebook, let me tell you, let me give you a little insight into my family life. There was a photo that my wife put online this time last year, and it was like the ideal family photo. You know, it was in Wales for a start, which, you know, can't beat it. There was a sunset, which was rare in Wales. And you know, the family were looking gorgeous. Yeah, I was there. And it was wonderful. And so many people liked the photo. And loads of comments, oh, wonderful. What Facebook didn't show was that 5 minutes before, daughter number one had a strop. And 10 minutes before, daughter number two, okay, refused to leave the house because she didn't want to go anywhere. And yet when the photo is put up, life is wonderful. And so we have the stresses, don't we, of family life. We have the stresses of looking a certain way. Recently we had our parenting lunch. And I said the pressure that I had as a teenager, well, younger than a teenage boy, was the trainers I was wearing. I remember as a teenage boy that my mother bought me some trainers from Woolworths. You know, remember Woolworths? I thought they were brilliant trainers. They had Velcro. Remember, it was a new thing in the 70s, Velcro. And then, you know, you go to school and by the end of the day, all the bits of fluff from the carpet ended up on your Velcro trainers. And I thought I was the bee's knees. But obviously then, it was all about the three stripes. And so I thought, Mum, I can't wear these Woolworths trainers anymore. I need to have the three stripes. But of course, we've moved on now. It's not the trainers that we have the peer pressure of our children about, is it? It's about the brick. Not the one that builds the house, but the one that you use to communicate. The child has the brick that they think is the next best thing. And within 5 minutes, the brick has to be not just any old phone, but it has to be a smartphone. So we are bombarded with questions of identity, questions about what we are. Listen to this quote. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to please people we don't even like. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to please people we don't even like. Don't know if that sums up your life. But there's a challenge here, isn't there, from the Lord Jesus as he speaks about where our identity lies, what our life is built upon. Some of you, older folk, I don't know if this has been an issue for you, but when you retire, where is your identity? Where is your identity? I meet up once a year with a friend in Wales, he'd finished work recently. I said, how's it going? He said, well, I've actually had to have counseling because his whole life revolved around his work, and his work gave him his identity. He was quite high-powered. His life was consumed with what was going on in the workplace. And so that idea of what life was all about, where was his treasure, what was his heart, were big questions for him to consider. I suppose you could call it the idol of work. Because there's always idols, aren't there? There's always idols not too far away for all of us. If you don't know what your idol is, the thing that we can put in the place of God, the thing that our life revolves around, the thing that is all about our lives, well, this is a way of identifying. Listen to this. Chase your excessive emotion down the rabbit hole. Chase your excessive emotion down the rabbit hole. So what emotions are you going to have, speaking to the teenagers, when those results come out and you deserve an A and you get a B? Will you be devastated? Or how about when that other thing that you have may be so important to you, the things that you value most, and it doesn't always turn out as you see it has to? For some, it's football scores. For others, it's how I look and how my identity is around those likes that I may get on social media. But Jesus says, doesn't he, in verse 33, that life is more than this. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, he says. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Again, thinking about what's most important. What is life all about? Life is worth more than these. See, these things that we talk about, the identity of the things that our life is built on, is often so temporary, so temporary. Life is more than these things. Whether it's the things we eat, the things we drink, the kind of bodies we have, the A-levels or not we may get. Let's think about those things that we put as our treasures. The things in this world, me and my world, the treasures on earth. But secondly, this evening, Jesus wants us to focus on what he would say is most important, which is the treasures on heaven. His kingdom. His kingdom. But, verse 31, seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. We've seen, haven't we, in the Matthew series, as we've gone through it over the last, I don't know how long it's been, but over a year or two, what kingdom is. What kingdom is. And we see, don't we, at the start of God's perfect world, the paradise that God created, the perfect world where there was a king, the king that ruled. And yet, through it, where God made us to be his image bearers, to rule on his behalf in the world, we spoilt it. And throughout the Old Testament, there's that looking forward to the great king, looking forward to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who restores the kingdom. And you'd think, as the story goes on, as you read the New Testament, that he would deal with the people that spoil the world the most. And yet, the gospel is that we don't get what we deserve. That Jesus dies, that he saves the spoilers of the world. That's you and me. He takes the punishment that we deserve. And he calls us to live for King Jesus. He calls us to be a part of his kingdom, where he rules, where he reigns. And we are to call and to champion the Lord Jesus as we point people to King Jesus too. And we think, don't we, about the now and the not yet. The now, where we have a little insight, a little taste of that kingdom, as we see Jesus reversing how the world was and how the world will be. And we look forward to that day when the paradise that was lost one day will be paradise gained. Look at verse 31 again. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you. We can lose sight of King Jesus. We can lose sight of our value as a child of the King. And we can lose sight of this kingdom that we look forward to beyond this life. Often we can believe these things in our doctrinal statements, where we attend a good FIC church that ticks the right boxes. And we can say the creeds. We can sing the songs. We can take notes even in the sermon. But often, we're still living for our world and the me side of things. Jesus calls us, doesn't he, to seek him, to seek his kingdom. The Father heart of God, when we speak of God as Father, we do it every week. We probably do it every day in our prayers. Have you ever thought about how amazing that is, to call God your Father? Muslims apparently have 100 names for God, but not one of them is Father. And yet we reel off his name and we lose the significance of what that means. Jesus makes his point about what's more important to us as he uses the pictures and the sounds and the smells and the sights of those things that those listeners would have seen. And he points to nature. Look at verse 24. He says, he points to verse 24 and verse 25. Have a look down. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. Again, an everyday occurrence, and yet an amazing thing of seeing how the Father provides in nature. And then verse 25, we see, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Does this ring true? How many of us have worried about those things that will not add another hour to our life? And again, in verse 27, he uses another picture of those things that were around the people as they were listening to Jesus. Verse 27, consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Again, another illustration that points out the beauty of creation, the beauty of God's handiwork, what God has made. It will always beat anything that man has made. He uses the example of Solomon, but we could use the example of Armani. We could use the example of any designer. We'll never reach the beauty and the care of our Father God. This evening, do we know? We might know, but do we know in our heart that thing that controls us, that we are loved by God? That he loves us, that he cares for us, that he is a great provider. He is that Father. You, whoever you are, however old you are, wherever you've been, need to remind yourself, and I need to remind myself, that we are much loved child of God. We are a much loved child of God. You see, when we know we are loved, not because of what we look like, not on how we perform, not on what we do, but because of who we are, that we're a child of God, that changes everything. This changes as our worries, as we worry maybe about if things will work out, about our provision and our self-worth. And then verses 32 and verse 33, have a look. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. See, in this part of the scripture, he's not saying for us to give up everything, to sell up, and then we're poor. He does say that earlier on, you understand, didn't he, to the rich young ruler. But he's saying, think about those resources that you have. Think about it, not just in worldly terms, but think about it in kingdom terms. Think about those resources that God has given you. In Acts, we read about selling a field and selling that field and giving to the poor. If you make lots of money, fantastic. That's not a problem in itself. That's a great thing. But think about how that money will be used. Think about how it will be used. Not for your kingdom and just for earthly things, but think in terms of God's kingdom. Think about how those resources will be used, not just for the present, but for the eternal. Think about those ways that those resources, those things that God has given us can be used. Because, as it says there at the end of this section, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's a great challenge, isn't it? This is about how we use our money, yes, but also how we use our time. It was great to hear, as I said earlier in the prayers, great to hear Anna speak to the children. A great encouragement to think about how we use those things that God has given us. How we use those gifts that God has given us as we think about our time. Sometimes we have to sacrifice things in order to use those gifts for God and His kingdom in a different way. So this evening, how are we going to seek God and His kingdom? Well, our eyes need to be beyond ourselves. Our eyes need to look further than the present. Our eyes need to look from an eternal perspective as we serve King Jesus and His kingdom. This evening, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pray.